Well, hello and welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. I'm Jim Samaria.
And I am Mark Plotnick, Jim's co-host. Each week we highlight a music-related topic from the greatest era for rock and roll music, the 1950s through the early 1980s, with occasional diversions elsewhere.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is available on Amazon. And it features my photography of classic rock era artists from 1973 to present day, with words by my co-author, the always brilliant Mark Plotnick. And today's show features violin moments in prog rock and jazz fusion.
Thank you, Mr. Photographer of the Stars. Isn't it how Ron Onesti addressed you one time?
Yes, and I prefer you start calling me that too,
okay? Well, you know, Jim, when I was growing up, the only violinists I knew of were names like Yasha Heifetz, Isaac Stern, Yehudi Menuhin, Pinchas Zukerman, and Itzhak Perlman, and of course, that fiddler on the roof. I thought you had to be Jewish to play the violin.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't have to pronounce those names. Jeez. Boy, that was a tough one. Well, let me tell you, my dear Jewish friend, you do know that the finest violins in the world were designed and made by an Italian. His name was Antonio Stradivari.
Good.
Boy, that's so easy to pronounce.
You get the Italian names.
Yeah, that was easy. And about 500 of his instruments are still in circulation today. I'm not sure why the instruments are so special other than it's an Italian making them.
Well, they speculate it might have been the glaze, the varnish, but they really don't know after all these years. But they run a lot of money, so... Anyways, thanks for that wonderful history lesson.
It's all right. That's what I'm here
but
for.
But what isn't a mystery is the number of contemporary violinists and cello players whose playing can be heard on rock and fusion songs. Most are not household names, but we'll acquaint our listeners to some of these musicians on today's show.
And many of today's rock and fusion violinists approach their instruments much like guitar players, along with the new designs and materials, the amplification and sound shaping pedals. Allow these musicians to take their instrument to a whole new level.
That's right, Jim. Due to time constraints, several of today's featured songs have been edited around passages where the violinist has his or her moment in the spotlight. So let's not waste any more time. Today's show was dedicated to violinist Robbie Steinhardt of the band Kansas, who passed away on July 17th. And speaking of Kansas, I think that's your first band.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yeah, first band is Kansas, and as you just said, the violinist is Robbie Steinhardt. He was born in Chicago, but he was raised in Kansas. He is the violinist in the band Kansas from the very beginning, and he started taking violin lessons around the age of 8, and he was classically trained. But his rock and roll roots really got a hold of him. In 1972, he joined the band White Clover, which morphed into Kansas in early 1973, and the original classic lineup was formed. He stayed with Kansas until the early 1980s and rejoined again in 1997 and stayed for about another 10 years. The band's sound was created by the unique interplay of his violin playing with the guitar of Rich Williams and the keyboard playing of Kerry Livgren. Robbie also sang on occasion, which I didn't know, and he harmonized well with lead singer Steve Walsh.
Yeah, he did, Jim. And actually, I saw Kansas open for Lynyrd Skynyrd at Alpine Music Theater many moons ago. That's Alpine Valley, I should say. And Robbie also served as MC during the live performance, and he could really get the crowd going.
Yeah, he had that kind of personality. He could really get them going. So our first song of the day is from their 1974 album. It's a song that they opened with many times in concert, and it is highlighted by the superb work by Robbie. The song is titled, Can I Tell You?
Thank you. one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it. For being free will just be words and nothing more.
There's another song that could psych you up. That's phenomenal. Kansas created their unique sound by combining Southern hard rock and progressive rock, and were heavily influenced by Genesis and Yes. Mark, your next fiddler was never too old to rock and roll, so can you tell us a little bit about Mr. Papa John Creech?
I will, Papa John. Well, in 1970, the Jefferson Airplane evolved their sound by adding a blues violinist born in 1917. He came from a musical family and attended the Chicago Conservatory of Music, but opportunities for black classical violinists were limited, so he honed his skills playing dances at ethnic clubs around Chicago. After establishing a solo career, including movie soundtracks, he became friends with Joey Covington, who was the drummer for the Jefferson Airplane at that time. In 1970, he made a guest appearance with the band, and based on the audience's reaction, he became a permanent member. The band gave him the nickname Papa John, because he was old.
Yeah.
Here is John Henry Creech on the Airplane song Milk Train off the 1972 album Long John Silver.
Thank you. milk train running. I just wanna ride. I wanna ride.
I guess Grace really wanted to ride that milk train. That's what she says. Well, following his time with the Airplane, Papa John performed with the Jefferson Airplane offshoot bands. So, Jim, can you name one of these bands and the Airplane guys who started it?
Well, there was two. There's Jefferson Starship, which Jim Ecker's favorite band. I know that.
Yes.
And, of course, Hot Tuna, which was founded by guitarist Jorma Kokkonen and bassist Jack Cassidy. And an exceptional band. If they ever play around here, I suggest people go see them.
Yeah, they do a lot of acoustic blues and folk country blues. They're excellent. Papa John, as you said, joined the Jefferson Starship. And in 1993, he was awarded the coveted W.C. Handy Award by the Blues Foundation. Unfortunately, in 1994, he suffered a heart attack during a major California earthquake and passed away. I shouldn't be laughing at that, but I guess it was a 6.9 on the Richter scale. I looked it up.
But that'll do it.
Yeah. Jim, anyways, it's hard to believe that a rock band like The Who would find a need for a violin, but boy, did they strike gold on the Who's Next album. So what do you got?
Yeah, the person they found was Dave Arbus, and he performed on the song Baba O'Reilly, which a lot of people think the actual title is Teenage Wasteland, but the song is actually Baba O'Reilly. And it's considered one of the top 500 songs of all time on many, many lists. Of course, Pete Townshend's writing and the band's performance of the song is extraordinary, but the highlight, I think, is Baba O'Reilly's fast-paced driving violin playing at the end of the song, once again by Dave Arbus. Arbus was a member of the British progressive rock band East of Eden. He not only was a violin virtuoso, but he also excelled on the flute, the sax, and trumpet, multi-instrumentalist. He got invited to the Who's Next session by his friend Keith Moon, who was the drummer of The Who, and he played on the track, and it was Moon's idea for the spirited ending. The ending battle of John Entwistle's bass, Keith Moon's drums, and Arbus's violin is rock music magic. And that was just a little snippet of the ending of Baba O'Reilly by The Who. It's just a killer song.
Boy, that was one of Keith Moon's best ideas, I think.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm sure, Jim, you know that in concert, Roger Daltrey plays the violin part on harmonica. And actually, he does a pretty good job. And I'm sure you've seen him do that.
Yeah, I saw The Who a couple times back in the 70s and actually a couple times in the 2000s. And he pulls it off really, really well. Anyway, you are listening to That Classic Rock Show on WHRULP 101.5 FM radio and available on demand 24/7 from anywhere, just about anywhere in the world. And up next, you have a great classic rock group that a lot of people may not have heard of, Mark. So who may they be?
Well, I'll tell you, any respectable 1960s West Coast hippie knew who they were, which you obviously were not.
Well, I was not a West Coast hippie. I was a Chicago hippie.
Yeah, me too. Well, during the 60s, the San Francisco music scene was unlike any in the world. And among the Bay Area bands, none was more unique than It's a Beautiful Day. The original sextet was led by classically trained violinist, I'm going to try and get the name right here, David LaFlamme, along with his wife Linda LaFlamme, who plays jazz and classically flavored keyboards. They were among the earliest rock groups to feature violin as a lead instrument, and their music ran the spectrum from the folk rock classic White Bird in a... Anyways, you have to hear the song, to sophisticated prog rock like the song we're going to play today. It's a live version of Don and Dewey, performed in 1971 at the closing of Bill Graham's famed Fillmore West Auditorium. Let's listen. Well, as a young man, violinist David LaFlamme got the opportunity to perform with the Utah Symphony Orchestra, and a little-known fact, he was one of the original members of Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. And Jim, here's a piece of dark trivia. LaFlamme was briefly part of an avant-garde band that included a guitarist by the name of Bobby Beausoleil. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, I think he was part of the Manson family, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Oh, geez.
Enough said about that. Well, David LaFlamme continues to perform today with a new lineup of It's a Beautiful Day. Jim, we lost our next fiddler in 2020. He was one of the greats, and I'm so glad you are not playing the fiddle song he's most known for.
Yeah, next up we've got Charlie Daniels, possibly the most famous of all the fiddlers. He was a multi-talented musician who could play guitar, banjo, mandolin. He also sang. He was also a terrific songwriter, but he was more famously known for his fiddle playing. He was born and raised in North Carolina, and after he graduated from high school, he hit the road with his rock and roll band. It worked out well for him, I would say, and he's a member of many, many musical Hall of Fames. His music through the years has encompassed bluegrass, country, blues, rock, gospel, and all Southern styles. The man could do it all. And Mark, did you know that Elvis even recorded one of his songs?
I did, and the song was It Hurts Me. Recorded in 1964.
You know what the B-side was?
No.
That was the B-side. You know what the other side was?
No, I don't know that.
Kissing Cousins. Come on, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Daniels has recorded with many great stars, Bob Dylan, Hank Williams Jr., and the Marshall Tucker Band. And he is well known for his hit, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, which was featured in the movie Urban Cowboy, starring John Travolta. And one song that is a real gem is his version of the classic Layla, which was written by Eric Clapton and Jim Gordon and made famous by Derek and the Dominoes. I gotta tell you, there's some sweet fiddling going on in this song. Charlie was quite the humanitarian, too, Mark. I'm sure you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
He started the Volunteer Jam concert series that through the years had artists as diverse as the Allman Brothers, Garth Brooks, and even Ted Nugent. And proceeds from the concerts always went to worthy causes. When we come back, Mark's going to be talking about one of his boyhood neighbors who became a big, big star. But first, let's stay tuned for part two of that classic rock show on WHRU LP 101.5 FM, radio, and available on demand 24/7.